The Old Testament reading comes from Isaiah chapter 66. For I know their works and their thoughts, and the time is coming to gather all nations and tongues, and they shall come and see my glory. And I will set a sign among them, and from them I will send survivors to the nations, to Tarshish, Pul, and Lud, who draw the bow, to Tubal and Javan, to the coastlands far off. They have not heard of my fame or seen my glory, and they shall declare my glory among the nations. And they shall bring all your brothers from all the nations as an offering to the Lord, on horses and in chariots and in litters, and on mules and on dromedaries, to my holy mountain Jerusalem, says the Lord. Just as the Israelites bring their grain offering in a clean vessel and to the house of the Lord, and some of them also I will take for priests and Levites, says the Lord. For as the new heavens and the new earth that I make shall remain before me, says the Lord, so shall your offspring and your name remain. From the new moon to the new moon, and from Sabbath to Sabbath, all flesh shall come to worship before me, declares the Lord. This is the word of the Lord. The epistle reading is from Hebrews chapter 12. In your struggle against sin, you have not yet resisted to the point of shedding your blood. And have you forgotten the exhortation that addresses you as sons? My son, do not regard lightly the discipline of the Lord, nor be weary when reproved by him. For the Lord disciplines the one he loves, and chastises every son whom he receives. It is for discipline that you have to endure. God is treating you as sons. For what son is there whom his father does not discipline? If you are left without discipline, in which you have all participated, then you are illegitimate children and not sons. Besides this, we have had earthly fathers who disciplined us, and we respected them. Shall we not much more be subject to the Father of spirits and live? For they disciplined us for a short time, as it seemed best to them. But he disciplines us for our good, that we may share in his holiness. For the moment, all discipline seems painful rather than pleasant. But later, it yields the peaceful fruit of righteousness to those who have been trained by it. Therefore, lift your drooping hands and strengthen your weak knees and make straight paths for your feet, so that what is lame may not be put out of joint, but rather be healed. Strive for peace with everyone and for the holiness without which no one will see the Lord. See to it that no one fails to obtain the grace of God, that no root of bitterness springs up and causes trouble, and by it many become defiled. That no one is sexually immoral or unholy like Esau, who sold his birthright for a single meal. For you know that afterward, when he desired to inherit the blessing, he was rejected, for he found no chance to repent, though he sought it with tears. For you have not come to what may be touched, a blazing fire and darkness and gloom and a tempest, and the sound of a trumpet, and the voice whose words made the hearers beg that no further message be spoken to them. For they could not endure the order that was given. If even a beast touches the mountain, it shall be stoned. Indeed, so terrifying was the sight that Moses said, I tremble with fear. But you have come to Mount Zion, to the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, and to innumerable angels in festal gathering, and to the assembly of the firstborn who are enrolled in heaven, and to God, judge of all, and to the spirits of the righteous made perfect, and to Jesus, the mediator of a new covenant, and to the sprinkled blood that speaks a better word than the blood of Abel. This is the word of the Lord.
Thank you.
Gospel according to St. Luke, the 13th chapter.
Glory to you, Lord.
Jesus went on his way through towns and villages, teaching and journeying towards Jerusalem. And someone said to him, "Lord, will those who are saved be few?" And he said to them, "Strive to enter through the narrow door. For many, I tell you, will seek to enter and will not be able. When once the master of the house has risen and shut the door, and you begin to stand outside and to knock at the door, saying, 'Lord, open to us,' then he will answer you, 'I do not know where you come from.' Then you will begin to say, 'We ate and drank in your presence, and you taught in our streets.' But he will say, 'I tell you, I do not know where you come from. Depart from me, all you workers of evil.' In that place, there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. When you see Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and all the prophets in the kingdom of God, but you yourself cast out. And people will come from east and west, from north and south, and recline at the table in the kingdom of God. And behold, some are last who will be first, and some are first who will be last." This is the gospel of the Lord.
Grace to you
and peace from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Jesus went on his way through towns and villages, teaching and making the journey towards Jerusalem. There's a technical term for that introduction, a travelogue. And to those of us who know the story, and since the scriptures have been made to be contemplated, we should know it. We know what waits in Jerusalem. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. I think these travel notices are pauses that ask the old question to Peter: Quo vadis? Which way? Where are you going? And if we contemplate that journey motif, and we are all making the journey, there are some natural questions that come up. Are we there yet? How long is this journey? Is the journey about getting there? Or is it about these towns and villages that we're bumbling through? Where exactly are we going? Can we take a detour? Maybe turn around? Can we make it up that hill that we see in front of us? Are we alone on this journey? I'm sure that you would be able to add a few more to that list, some of them easier and some of them harder, some with answers that we might already know, some with answers that we've taken by faith, some that will honestly only make sense when our journey is through. But today, we're fortunate that someone from these towns and villages has supplied the question: Lord, will those who are saved be few? Before jumping right into that question, let's pause a second and state a bunch of assumptions that are in it. This someone, this every man, addressed Jesus as Lord. And there are two ways that Jesus typically gets addressed, either as teacher or as Lord. And what the title typically tells us is the status of the heart of the person. Teacher is as often as not the expression of skepticism, while Lord is someone who takes Jesus and his word as authority. Teacher, I'll consider what you have to say. Lord, you have the words of eternal life. So this particular question can be taken as a question of faith, belief seeking understanding. Lord, will few be saved? By asking about salvation, the man also considers that the goal or the destination of the journey. If we are marching to Jerusalem, that Jerusalem then is the city of God and our salvation. Knowing that crucifixion, death, and burial are ahead, nevertheless, that is the way of salvation. Whichever way this Lord leads us, that is salvation. And the man has looked around him in the midst of the journey. Jesus, in his life and ministry, at the angst, I'm sure, of the 12, had a tendency to chase people away. If you do not eat the flesh or drink the blood of the Son of Man, you have no life in you. This is a hard saying. The crowds responded, and many stopped following. Teacher, I'll follow wherever you go. The Son of Man has no place to lay his head. Let me go and bury my dad first. Let the dead bury their dead. And those crowds would even swell to 5,000 men that Jesus would feed miraculously, and then he'd dismiss them all. Even his family would come to collect him, and he'd brush his family away, saying that here in front of him was his mother and his brothers. Maybe this man has just attended a late summer church service and noticed the headcount, or felt the trouble of sharing the word and so many yawning, or seen friends who used to walk getting off the road. But the man's question is not one of doubt, it's one of faith, but also of concern. Are there few? And there are two paths of that question. Are those who have stopped finished? Concern for our neighbor and our erstwhile travel companions. Concern for those who might have fallen away. Is there any hope there? And then there is the buried concern for the self. If there are few, can I actually be one? Or is this journey too much for me also? Will the next thing out of your mouth, Lord, be my hard teaching? And Jesus gives, I believe, an amazingly straight answer. An answer full of both some psychological depth and seriousness. The first thing Jesus really does is address that split between concern for the neighbor and personal worry. He says, you. It's really plural. So, y'all. All of you who are following. All of you who are calling me Lord. You all strive to enter through the narrow door. If you're asking this question about concern for your neighbor, here is the one space that Jesus gives us warrant to be selfish. That one's saving faith is not really our burden. But at the same time that Jesus takes that burden off of us, if the worry is about our ability, Jesus tells us to strive to enter. And this might be a departure from how this is normally preached in Lutheran circles, but not really a departure from how Luther himself preached it. If Jesus said strive, we should strive. It's not that our striving will be our salvation, but that striving to enter the narrow door is the life of faith. In continuing the journey, we find ourselves in Jerusalem. In enduring the cross, we find ourselves called out of the grave. In walking the way that's marked out for us, we have walked in the way that Enoch trod. We have walked with God. Or as Paul would put it, we can rejoice too when we run into problems and trials. For we know that they help us develop endurance. And endurance develops strength of character. And character strengthens our confident hope in our salvation. Strive to enter the narrow door while it's open, while it is the day of grace. Those who seek now will find it. And I think that is the main point of the parables that follow. Seeking now in the time of grace is tough because all of our natural desires want us to stop this journey. It's uphill towards Jerusalem. It's always uphill towards Jerusalem. It's always towards the cross. It's a killing of our natural desires and a habituating ourselves to the ways of virtue. As I've repeatedly told my middle child concerning weights and running, if you want to get better, you've got to push yourself. Which is not the easy way. The wide and narrow path, which never lacks for companions, is the easy way. But there will also be many who seek to enter that narrow door once the owner of the house has risen and shut it. When the day of grace is done, there will be many knocking on that door. And they'll even know the language. We ate in your presence and drank and heard your teaching. And Augustine put it this way: Christ is the food that is eaten and drunk. Even Christ's enemies eat and drink. But whoever eats and drinks unworthily is eating and drinking judgment upon themselves. They heard the teaching, but they wouldn't walk in it. They were at the table, but they didn't recognize who they dined with. There's a presumption. A presumption of our age, I think. It's that presumption of the gospel. I'm good. God's good. Nobody except maybe Hitler and Jeffrey Dahmer are going to be outside. But an easy universalism. But that's not what Jesus says. And just like striving, we should take Jesus at his word. There will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. So, if Jesus' answer is first, y'all strive to enter. And second, there will be many who won't do this. There's a third point in his answer, which is a balm in the midst of striving. You shall see Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and all of the prophets enter the reign of God. All Israel will come from the east and from the west and from the north and the south and shall be sat at the reign of God. All of Israel, not physical Israel, but all of those who are the people of God shall be saved. All of God's people will be there. There won't be one person who strove to enter who's left outside. No last minute person who closed the door and they just didn't get there. The last one in, just as the door was shut, is invited up to the front. And Christ, who was the first to enter, the one who opened the door, will be there at it. He'll be the one, last one seated, because he's going to be the one at that door making sure everybody got in. So, in your journey, which way are you going? Are you going downhill, away from the city? Turn around and walk up again. Strive to enter. Today, that door is open. Do you realize that today you walk with Christ? Now is the time to get to know him. Now is the time to confess him, so that on that day you don't hear that I don't know you. Now is the time that he bids you pray, to ask, to call upon him in every trouble. Today, Christ answers that knock. Today, look up and see Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and that great cloud of witnesses. And know that you yourself are part of that rain. So today, strive to enter. Amen.